President Donald Trump's revised travel ban has been dealt another setback today, this time from a federal court in Maryland. This after a federal judge in Hawaii ordered that the travel ban targeting six majority Muslim countries be put on hold just hours before it was to take effect. The president responded at a rally last night in Nashville.
We're going to fight this terrible ruling. We're going to take our case as far as it needs to go, including all the way up to the Supreme Court. We're going to win. We're going to keep our citizens safe.
For more on this, joining us now via Skype is Rick Hassan, professor of law and political science at the University of California, Irvine. Welcome to Here and Now.
Good to be with you.
Well, first of all, let's start with this Maryland ruling. How does that differ from the ruling out of Hawaii last night?
Well, first, the similarity is that the Maryland court found the same problem as the Hawaii court did with the order, which is that it violates the Establishment Clause of the Constitution in that it was based on religious animus. Looking at the statements of President Trump, as well as some of his assistants and surrogates, the court said this was an anti-Muslim ban. Any national security argument was just a pretext for what was really going on, and therefore it's unconstitutional. Hmm. What's different about the Maryland ban is it addresses only one part of that, which is the travel ban. The Hawaii order also addressed a 120-day moratorium on bringing refugees into the country.
I see. Okay. So let's focus on Hawaii for a moment, because I understand that the judge there also, in his ruling, took into account things that the president had said, not necessarily just the strict letter of what was written in the executive order. Is that right?
Well, both courts did that. Oh, yeah. That's right. And in the Hawaii case, you also saw comments of Rudy Giuliani that he made on television, as well as Stephen Miller, one of the president's aides, as to what the purpose of this was. And usually when you have a case against the government, we have to prove a religious or racial discriminatory purpose. It's really hard to do because most politicians are pretty circumspect about what their actual motive might be. Here you have statements on the record.
Now, how unusual is it for a court to look at statements made by members of an administration when making such a ruling? Because, I mean, I take your point about, of course, things that the president himself has said and Stephen Miller, but Rudy Giuliani, he isn't a member of the administration.
Right. It was unusual in a few ways, not only just looking at the president. Some of these statements, some of the more inflammatory statements were made either before Trump was president or not in an official capacity. It might have been in an interview. And so that is a bit unusual. And I suppose that as the Department of Justice has argued in these lower courts, as these cases work their way up to the appeals courts and potentially to the Supreme Court, we're going to see the same kinds of arguments being made. This doesn't really represent the government's purpose.
Well, let me just jump in here, because then doesn't that possibly give credence to something that the president said last night when he was in Nashville, that he said that, quote, you don't think this was done by a judge for political reasons? I mean, he was asking a rhetorical question, but based on what I heard you just say, does the president possibly have a point there?
Well, I think in these Establishment Clause cases, just like in a case involving racial discrimination, the court has a tough job. It has to figure out what the real motive or purpose is behind a law. And there's an established framework that the Supreme Court's put forward for trying to figure this out, looking at statements, looking at history, looking at context. I don't think that these courts are making political judgments. I think instead they're trying to figure out what was the actual motivation behind these laws. And given the inflammatory statements made of the president, it's pretty obvious to these courts what the motivation was.
Hmm. Perhaps I'm focusing too much on one little detail, but of course the language and rhetoric used in a campaign is oftentimes, regardless of party, very different than the language and rhetoric used in the actual act of governing once a president is sworn in. But let me ask you, though, do you think that these challenges will likely make it to the Supreme Court, that the DOJ would try their case in the highest court?
Well, so the next step would be going to the appeals court. For Hawaii, that would be the Ninth Circuit, or in the Maryland case, to the Fourth Circuit. Both of those could get appealed to the Supreme Court, potentially, where the court is divided right now with a vacancy between four liberals and four conservatives. And so if that happens, if the court actually divides 4-4, whatever the lower court rules, that would stand. Hopefully they wouldn't be in conflict with each other, because then we'd have a real pickle.
Well, Rick Hassan is a professor of law and political science at the University of California, Irvine. Many thanks for speaking with us.
Thank you.